Last week on Sunday morning, if you were here, if you weren't, just to catch you up, I was talking about this little phrase that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And we talked about the fact that in this next season that we're in at the moment, that we believe that God is strengthening things in us. And that as we ask him to do that, that he will continue to do it. And we said, well, strengthen what? And we said, well, the first thing we want to do is spend 21 days in prayer. This is last week's slide, so starting tomorrow was starting last Monday, so this is day 7. And we said we're going to do a number of things. Johnny's just talked about Alpha. And we said we want to strengthen relationships, and Alpha is part of that, both strengthening relationships with one another, but also outside of church as well, a great opportunity to do that. We said that we wanted to strengthen something in marriage. Dwayne mentioned it on Friday evening as well. We just get the sense at the moment that God is wanting to strengthen something within us in the whole area of marriage. So we're going to start a marriage course for those people who would like to be involved in that. Tomorrow night, people have already signed up to do something strengthening in terms of money and finance and stewardship. That's running for 3 weeks. That's the CAP money course. And then also, we're going to run a Worship Central course. We're going to talk about what it means to strengthen ourselves in terms of worship. So all of this is going on. But of course, we believe that God is talking to us about strengthening in all kinds of different areas. And last week, we had a game, those of you who are here, of rock, paper, scissors. We won't do it again this morning. Phil and Alison are the current champions. And it really hit me that, you know, in that game of rock, paper, scissors, how one thing trumps another, if you like, one thing. So rock, rock bashes scissors, scissors cut paper, paper wraps rock. That's right, isn't it? Yes. I shouldn't have attempted to do that, but we got through it okay, didn't we? And that was saying that in the same way that each of those things trumps something else, it's like the good news of the gospel, the truth of who Jesus is, actually trumps anything else in our lives. So if we're finding ourselves in place of discouragement, fear, lack of hope, despair, that actually the truth of the gospel trumps all of those things. And you could say is greater than those things as well. And this morning, I just want to pick up from where we left off last week. I do want to talk about strengthening prayer. But I want to start with maths. Does anyone here like maths? Do you have some people who enjoy and like maths? There's a few people shaking their heads, and don't worry, we won't stay here for too long. Who knows, who can remember back to your school days or very recent what this sign means? That's very good, Nick. Nick's still putting his hand up. He was whisked back to school there for a moment, so it's very polite of you, Nick. Thank you, I appreciate that. Does anyone else know what this sign is? Greater than. That's right. Greater than. So let's do some math. So 10 is greater than 1. Would you agree with that? 10,000 is greater than 10. Would you agree with that? This is basic maths. We're all okay, I think, with that. Well, just hold that thought for 1 minute. Last week, we prayed that God would strengthen us. And some of us in this room, we remembered some situations where we needed strength. And this morning, I guess I just want to pick up some of that last week. And I want you to think for a moment, if there are situations either in your life or in those who you know, who you would say right now that your ability or their ability to overcome is not great. So just have a think for a moment. And so if you can think of that situation in your life or other people's life, or you're saying that actually the situation is greater, is too great for us to overcome. And this morning I want to talk about strengthening prayer. And I want to talk about a prayer, a type of prayer that we would call breakthrough. So if you find yourself in that kind of situation, what do you need? You need a breakthrough. And I'm going to look at an Old Testament story this morning. We're going to look at that together. It's in 2 Chronicles, if you want to follow along. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this story involves a good king of Judah called Jehoshaphat. Say Jehoshaphat. It's a great name, isn't it? When you're choosing baby names, Jehoshaphat, surely it must be on the list. And this story in 2 Chronicles 20 starts with an overwhelming problem. Verse 1 says this: after this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of their Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you." Put simply, Jehoshaphat is not just facing one enemy, he's facing three. So if you do the maths, the problem was much greater than Jehoshaphat and the people of God's ability to overcome it. Now, of course, these days we're not facing literalites. We don't have the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Meunites. But we do face things today. And Joyce Meyer says this: these might be some of the things that we're facing. Perhaps we're facing fearites, diseaseites, povertyites, stressites. She says grouchy neighborites, insecurityites, rejectionites. Put your own ites on the list. Are you facing some ites today in your life? And these are the things where I believe that we need a personal breakthrough. It's like a defensive battle. It's like things are coming at us to either rob our peace or bring fear into our lives. But I believe that as we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, we will see breakthrough in those areas. But if those are defensive, if that's like a defensive thing, then I believe at the same time it's time for us to go on the offensive in terms of some breakthrough as well. In the New Testament, now that we are in Christ, we're not just involved in a defensive battle. As the people of God, we have a mandate to go on the offensive. And you know it, we know it. We want to extend the love and the good news of Jesus. Remember, good news of Jesus Christ, the transforming power to other people who are right now held captive by spiritual powers of darkness, or we could say ites, who need to be set free in Jesus' name. Are there people in your world, in my world, who you'd like to see spiritual opposition fade away and see a breakthrough in their lives? Are there people like that? Would you like to agree with me this morning that that's what we want to see? Yeah. We talked about the fact that we want to, as a church, help people to find and follow Jesus. And I believe this is part of it. Of course, the good news is this morning, who likes good news? It's not just us against ites. In this story, there is a central character. It's not Jehoshaphat, it's not the Moabites, it's not the Ammonites or the Meunites. The real hero of the story, of course, is God himself. And last week, as we talked about the truth of Jesus trumping all the ites, if you like, the things that are greater that we don't feel we can overcome, we need to remember this morning that our God is greater than any ite that we could face. So this is the mass, if you like. Our God is greater than the ites and is greater than us. That's pretty good news. The truth is, actually, in terms of the mass, that God plus one is greater than anything. That is always in the majority, which is pretty good news for you and me. Do you agree? So let's have a quick look at this story then. Jehoshaphat and the people, they start off with a problem. And then they get a breakthrough. But how do they get the breakthrough? What can we learn from this story? So if God is the greater one, how can we align ourselves with him so that we can welcome, as it were, this sense of breakthrough into our worlds and see our situation and those around us transformed? Well, I believe there's three things. The first one is this. We'll read it in a moment. Seek the greater one with fasting. When we're facing ites, oppositions, challenges, sometimes the only way we'll get the breakthrough is to position ourselves with fasting. This part of the story says this: alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Say, all Judah. All Judah. Now that's important. It wasn't just the priests, it wasn't just the important people, it was all of Judah, it was everyone. Why were they fasting? Here's the answer. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. We mentioned very briefly, Janet reminded us, I forgot, talk about fasting last week. And if you're new to this whole thing of fasting, let's just say what it isn't. It's not trying to twist God's arm or earn his favour. We already have God's favour through Jesus Christ. So fasting doesn't change God, but it changes us. What it does, fasting, it helps us to position ourselves so that we can become more in tune with God and we can seek him with a greater intensity. It's kind of like somehow we can somehow speed up the breakthroughs as we engage and seek God with fasting. Now, I believe in 21 days of prayer that we're in right now, there's something that we can learn together about what it means to seek the Lord in fasting. Practically, of course, fasting is all about a biblical practice. What it really means is to eliminate or reduce food for a given season. So Jesus fasted for 40 days before he started his ministry. In the book of Daniel fasted for 21 days and then he got a breakthrough. And earlier in the book, Daniel fasted for 10 days. And this was a different kind of fast. He ate just fruit and vegetables. And fruit and vegetables sounds like a diet, doesn't it? The Daniel diet. There are health benefits. Those of you who know about this kind of thing, there are health benefits, but that's not the reason for doing it. And there are other fasts as well in the Bible. And I just want to encourage us that this is something which can be really helpful, really important and useful to us. If you've not come across it before, then perhaps you might like to give it a try in these 21 days as we, as church, pray together. And perhaps you want to just choose something to fast from. Perhaps it's chocolate, alcohol, TV, or something else that we can reduce or eliminate. But this is not a pressure thing, but if we want God's best for us, then we want to align ourselves with the things that God talks about. And I believe this is one of them. And let me say as well that unless you have a medical condition, fasting won't tend to do us any harm. In fact, as we say, it can actually be quite good for us. Some of us might look a little thinner at the end of 21 days of doing some kind of fasting, might we? Which might not be a bad thing. The thing about fasting, though, it heightens our spiritual senses to hear from God better. And sometimes, somehow, in the weakness that we feel physically, causes us to seek a greater strength in God. Does that make sense? Do you find that, some of you who do this? On one occasion, Jesus was with his disciples, and they were struggling to see someone set free from an evil power. Jesus says to his disciples, he makes an interesting statement. He says, this kind only come out by prayer. And some translations say prayer and fasting. Truth is that some things only get shifted with prayer and fasting. And I believe that that's also sometimes true for us. If you haven't done it before, perhaps you want to try it this week. Let's not overreach or overcommit, but then let's watch what God might do, what God could do as we seek the greater one with fasting. Number two, speak with the greater one in prayer. Heard someone say, if fasting is not so much about doing without food, but it's more about doing more with God. It's kind of like feasting on God instead of feasting on food. And I don't know about you, but as I think about prayer, I'm increasingly aware of the privilege that we have of 24/7, anytime, anywhere, from now until eternity, speaking with the greater one, the living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that each one of us has access to him anytime, anywhere, to speak with him and to know him. What a privilege, what an amazing reality in our lives. And there's many types of prayer in the Bible. There's the Lord's Prayer, there's speaking in tongues. And here in 2 Chronicles 20, they've sought the Lord with fasting, and he leads the people, Jehoshaphat leads the people out with a very powerful prayer. But notice how he doesn't start in this prayer. How many people do this? Sometimes if you've got a worry or an anxiety in your life, how many people start with the worry or the anxiety? God, help! There's this it in my life. God, help! I need you. Well, let's look at what Jehoshaphat does. He doesn't do that. He starts like this. Oh Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. How many people think that's a good way to start your prayer? God knows about all the ites, doesn't he? But there's something honouring about starting with him. How does Jesus teach his disciples to pray? He doesn't start by saying, deliver us from the evil one. He starts by saying, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed or honoured be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then after that, he prays, give us today our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Jehoshaphat and the people need deliverance, but he doesn't start there. Now, how many people know that actually the first battle in prayer to be fought is not against the ites, it's in my mind, in your mind. That's the place where the first battle takes place. And if in my thinking I can shift to honouring God first and foremost, then his greatness and his magnificence begin to take precedent over the problems. And my problems seem way smaller and my God seems way bigger. How many know that's a good place to start if you're going to pray? God is much bigger than any ites in your life or in my life. Let's acknowledge God for who he is. So Jehoshaphat starts with God and then he moves on to what God has done. Verse 7 says this, O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham? One of the things that it's great to do in prayer, and it's not for God's benefit, of course, it's for our benefit, is to remind God what he's done in our life. What he's done for us in Jesus. The wonderful salvation that we've been singing about this morning, that wasn't it great when David asked us to shout out some of our prayers and our thanks, that very quickly we weren't struggling to find different things that we wanted to praise and honour and worship God for this morning. What a great place to start to remind God of all that he has done for us. And then Jehoshaphat does pray about the ites, but even then he's not talking from a position of fear or negativity. He says this, they are coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us and gave us an inheritance. And when you hear Jehoshaphat pray this, there's almost a sense of indignation. Can you hear it? It's kind of like he's saying, how dare they come against us? How dare they steal our children? How dare they? We're the people of God. And sometimes when we pray at times, I think some of us need to get a bit indignant, do you? Sometimes we're too nice, aren't we? I love hanging around with Dwayne. Those of you who met him, our large Texan friend. And one of the things that he sometimes says to me, he says, Matt, you're too nice. And I think, I'm not sure whether that's an encouragement or not. But I know what he means, because sometimes we are far too nice. We discussed the fact that the differences in culture sometimes between us in the UK and in America, because Dwayne was observing that when we have a meal together, if there's something that is left at the end of the meal. Do you want to move that, Paul? Is that better? There's something left at the end of the meal, you know, and in the UK, no one will take the last, whatever it is, the last sausage. No, we won't take it. We'll leave it. We'll wait. We'll be thinking about that sausage, won't we? We'll be thinking, I'd love to take that sausage, but it would not be polite. It would almost be rude to take that sausage. And in the end, someone who feels a little bold might say, would anyone like the last sausage? And hoping that no one will say yes, because we want that last sausage. And then if there is someone else who would like to challenge for the sausage, then we perhaps suggest that we cut the sausage in half and share the sausage together. And we were discussing this, and Dwayne said, in Texas, if you can see the sausage, you just take the sausage. He said, if there has been a little pause, that's as much as you get in Texas. And there's obviously some things that are good in our culture and some things that are not so good. But actually, I believe as we pray, there's something that's very powerful about somehow the passion that is within us to become indignant, perhaps a little bit less nice, perhaps a little bit less British, and go for the sausage. Sometimes there's something that rises up on the inside. We say, God, I'm claiming your promises. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Come on, Lord. Then Jehoshaphat says this, moving on in the story. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have not power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. How many people sometimes say that when we're praying? And I think it's okay to say that, isn't it? We want to be honest. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed, but what does Jehoshaphat say? We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. In other words, we're turning our eyes to the one who does know what to do. Then verse 13 says this, notice this is all the men of Judah with their wives and children. In verse 13, sorry. And I love the fact that it talks about all of Judah, the men of Judah, their wives, the children, the little ones. They all gathered before the Lord. And I love the fact that actually as church, we are a family. We come together as family. And that's who we are. That's part of our DNA. That's a very important part of us. So, as 21 days of prayer, I know people have been doing it because I've seen it. Let's include the kids in our times of prayer together. And this morning, as they're out in their zones, one of the things that they're doing is praying, learning about what it means to pray. So, when we seek God with fasting and we speak with God in prayer, God answers. And one of the ways he answers sometimes is he gives us a word. And that's why it's great having someone like Dwayne to come. Not because Dwayne's the only person who can do this, but when there's someone who hears clearly from God and speaks into not just our church, but some of us in individual lives. If we've been going around the circle sometimes with a particular issue, sometimes one of the things God does, and some of you who are here on Friday night, know what happens. God breaks into our lives. God brings a word to us which changes everything and makes us see things very differently. And how does God speak to us? So sometimes there's a promise in the Bible. We read it. We know that it's not just something that is general, but it's for us. Sometimes God speaks to us and you just know in your spirit that God is saying something to you. Sometimes it's through an encouragement of another person. Someone will speak something to us, they'll say something. We know that actually it's not just them, it's God speaking to us. And sometimes it is a prophet or a prophetic word, or someone with who has the ability to bring God's word to us. And in this situation, Jehoshaphat listens to a prophet named Jahaziel, and he says this, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Some people need to listen to this morning. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Then he says again, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. And here's the punchline, of course. The Lord will be with you. Is that not there? Anyway, it's still true. And that's the missing slide. Yeah, we're not quite there yet. The prophet comes and says twice, do not be discouraged, don't be afraid. And you know that in the Bible, when something is repeated, it means it's important, right? So the prophet is speaking to them, and how many people know that actually we can be paralyzed by discouragement and fear? Anybody here? It stops us where we're at, causes us literally to be paralyzed. And some of us, perhaps the word that God wants to speak to us this morning is don't be discouraged, don't be afraid. Rise up, step into the things and receive the breakthrough, know the breakthrough. I mentioned it before, but this battle that takes place in our hearts and our minds is often won as we align ourselves with God so that we can put our trust in Him and we can see the breakthrough. So God comes and speaks and sets them free. But it's not just that prayer, of course, changes us as we align ourselves with God, but somehow prayer, let me say, changes real situations. There's plenty of stories in this room. We could pause and ask for a few where we have prayed and we have seen situations change. Where we've prayed for physical healing, when we've prayed for circumstances to be switched around, when we've prayed for things to be transformed, and God somehow mysteriously, miraculously moves on our behalf. And when God moves on our behalf, then the ites better get out of the way, because we know the maths. God is greater than any ites in our lives. Do you agree? He's the ruler, he's the of the kingdom of the nations. He's the God of the heaven and the earth. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, greater than any ite we can ever face. And when we pray, we don't just get God instances, we don't just get coincidences, we get God instances. Because God moves in our situations. And I'm praying that in these 21 days, that as we align ourselves, that we will see some real answers to the things that God is putting before us as we pray. So if there's three things, the first is we seek the Lord with fasting, we speak to the greater one, which includes listening, it's a conversation. The third is this, honour the greater one with worship. If the fasting and the praying positioned the people for the breakthrough, then it actually came as they honoured and through worship the Lord. And we'll look at it in a moment. In this story, there's three different ways that the people of God worshipped. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when we're facing ites or struggles or difficulties, it's easy for us to delay the worship part until afterwards. But actually, if we want to follow some of the principles here, and I suggest we do, we recognize that actually that God is good all the time. That God is high above all our situations, all our circumstances. God is mighty. God has saved us, He's set us free. And if nothing else, we can thank God for that, can't we? And somehow, as we worship, God comes right into our midst. He comes into our lives and transforms the situations. So let's quickly look at the three ways here. So in this story, the first thing that happened, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all of the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. We don't often do that on a Sunday morning as part of our worship, do we? Perhaps with the chairs and the carpet's nice, but not particularly comfortable, although that's not really the point. But I'd encourage you at some point, find some space and perhaps just take a moment to bow before God. It's not an act of self-degradation, but it's part of humbling ourselves and acknowledging that we can't do it on our own. We recognize who God is in our lives and who he is to us. And then the second thing that happened, it says this, then some Levites from Kohathites and Korahites, I think that's how you say it, stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Now you might say, well, actually I prefer to be quiet. But perhaps this is the niceness coming back into us again. Because let me say this, I don't think God is deaf. Don't think he's going to struggle with hearing your prayers or my prayers. But there's something that happens when we shout with a very loud voice. There's a different kind of prayer that rises within us that can't be expressed with the quiet, Oliver, please sir, can I have some more type prayers. There's something that rises up within us which can only be done with a very loud voice. There's something that actually says, you know what, I really believe this, which is a lot, it's done a lot easier with volume. Is that okay? And some people like doing that, some people it becomes very natural. But can I encourage you, if you're not a natural loud voice person, then just give this a shot. Because I think there's something that changes within us as we pray with a very loud voice. Okay? Always, I remember the guidance is when you're asking people to do something you're not sure they want to, it's just a smile. So that's just me smiling. But I believe what we can do, should do, why not do it? And then finally, verse 21, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. So there's three armies coming against them. It's overwhelming. What do they decide to do? What's the battle plan? Sing. And not singing in an aggressive way, but singing to the Lord. And there's times when it's good to sing. I thought I said something else about that, but perhaps not. And as they sing, what happened? Verse 21, 22, I think it is, 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Sounds like a miracle to me, doesn't it, to you? And when God moves, some strange things sometimes happen that we wouldn't expect. Is that right? Because this doesn't set, the end of the story isn't quite what you'd expect, is it? I love this translation. They helped to destroy one another. Hey, chaps, you couldn't just help me destroy one another. Well, what's going on? There's something about honouring the greater one. And somehow he comes into their midst and does what he said he would do. Something happens when they lift up the name of the Lord. Psalm 22 verse 3 says this, "You are holy, enthroned on the praise of Israel." And there's this whole sense that actually as we praise the Lord, that God is enthroned. It's almost like, well, we know that God is omnipresent, but there's something that is very special about God coming in a very present, real form. We call it manifesting. One of the words we use is manifesting the presence of God. And I love it. I don't know about you, I love it that God is everywhere all the time. But there's something that's very special when we know the tangible sense of God's presence. And I believe that we get that, I don't know about you, but on Sundays as we are together, on Friday night as we gather together, God's people, in the presence of God. There's something about gathering together where we know God's presence. And for me, it's part of, as we pray for an increase in this spiritual temperature in our lives and in our church, that we will expect to see that. And of course, we can honour God on our own, and we should. Of course, we can honour God in our homes as families, and we should. We can honour God wherever we are, and we should. But there's something very special about the people of God coming together with one voice to honour him and to know his presence amongst us. And of course, the bigger picture, it's not just about us. That's why I love this, because actually, you'll know some of the stories, and there are a few in the room this morning of people who yet to know and find and follow Jesus, but somehow can know God's presence. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And I'm praying that more and more, that people who don't have a Christian background, haven't been brought up in church, but somehow when they encounter this presence of God, and you've heard it, we say, I feel different, there's something unusual, there's something, I feel emotional, there's something, well, what is that? Well, it's the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I long for more of it. Yeah. Please, God. So let's seek the Lord with fasting, let's speak with the Lord in prayer, let's honour the greater one like never before in worship. And then what's the outcome? Verse 24, 25, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect. That's a lot of plunder. 3 days worth of plunder to collect. Let me say, sometimes breakthrough comes straight away. Sometimes it comes after a long time, and sometimes we have to wait. But if we're praying in line with God's will, then God will answer. And sometimes breakthrough might be, for us, physical things. There may be things where, as we pray and see a breakthrough, that financial things are released. Could be that there are physical things that change in our lives. Could be that there are situations. Perhaps there are work things that some of us are looking for a breakthrough. Perhaps there's employment opportunities that some of us are looking for a breakthrough. And as we pray, very real things change and happen. But I believe that actually, in terms of plunder, what does plunder mean in the New Testament? As we pray for God's breakthrough against the dark powers of the enemy, we can expect that our breakthrough means people becoming saved. I don't know about you, but as I pray, 21 days of prayer is high on my list, that we can take back the things that the enemy has robbed us. We can see the kingdom of darkness brought into the kingdom of light. I don't know about you, but I like this Jehoshaphat story. It's encouraging. It's a great story of breakthrough. And we can learn some things. But you might say, well, okay, that was then. But what about today? Well, actually, think about it. Today, we have even greater resources and we're in a greater position of authority than Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah had back then. Why? They lived several years before Jesus. We live now 2,000 years on. And as a result of what Jesus won for each one of us on the cross when he defeated death, not only is he seated in authority with the Father, but because we are Christians, we've become born again. We are in Christ. So everything that Jesus has is ours. So we don't just fight the ites on our own. We are in Christ. We're on God's side now. We're seated, therefore, with Christ in heavenly places. Anyone remember that from Freedom in Christ? So we're not just praying for victory, we're praying from victory. What an amazing place to be praying from. Jehoshaphat saw a great victory, but actually, just think about it. They didn't have the privilege of being in Christ like we do today. So you and I, this morning, in this place, in the Ashwood Centre, for those of us who've chosen to follow Jesus, are in Christ, and we have everything available to us through Jesus that we could possibly need. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Who likes to be in that position this morning? So actually, the equation looks like this. Not just God, the ites, and us, but God and us in Christ, greater than the ites. And if you think that's good news, it gets even better. Not only are we in Christ and we get born again and we live in the God sphere, if you like, everything that is available to Christ is available to us. It gets even better because the greater one lives in you and lives in me by his Spirit. So the greater one, God, is in heaven today, but he's not just in heaven, he's right here, right now, living in me and you. Is that good news? So I want to encourage you today that actually, as we pray and as we align ourselves and perhaps have a think about seeking God with fasting, seeking God with prayer, that we choose to honour God, whatever our situation, whatever our circumstances. You know, I believe that as church, we are on that journey. And I think we are finding ourselves more and more in that place of honouring God wherever we're at, whether the sun's shining or whether the sun's not shining in our lives. Just finally, one last scripture in 1 John 4. It says this, "You dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So however you're feeling today, when I talk about the ites and you recognize what they are in your life or in those that you would acknowledge, if it feels overwhelming today for you, then for those who are following Jesus, the truth is that the greater one is not just living in heaven, but he's living in your life, he's living in my life. And of course, we don't want to keep this good news to ourselves. So this morning, I want to encourage you to pray prayers of breakthrough in these 21 days for yourself and your families, for those around you. But I also want us to never forget the bigger picture for those who haven't yet had the opportunity to come to know the greater one. Why don't we stand together? Can I say this morning as well, if you had a specific word from God on Friday evening, or if you had the general word from God on Friday evening, let's make sure that we take hold of what God is saying to us. Believe it. Allow it to activate faith in our lives. Continue to strengthen ourselves in prayer as we hear God's word and we act upon it in obedience. While we stand in quiet for a moment, perhaps it's another opportunity just to recognize some of the ites that are around us. Nick, have you got something? Yeah, great.
When someone brings a word to us, sometimes we miss it. That might sound silly, but I just want to read out really what Matt's been saying, particularly to those this morning who are discouraged and who are afraid,
yeah,
and have issues, because there's something about the Word of God that we need to get hold of,
yeah,
so that we don't just walk out of this room having heard a good preach, but actually we take home today something of what God's saying to us.
Right, yeah.
So I think actually that Matt's given us almost a prophetic preach this morning. It's actually something of God that he wants us to get a hold of. So I'd want you to encourage to mull over the words God's given us this morning. This is the bit that really hit me, and it kept hitting me as Matt was talking to us this morning. This is what the Lord says to you. That's to you.
Yep.
That's to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army.
Yeah.
The battle is not yours, but God's. In other words, we don't have to strive. We don't have to push. We don't have to struggle. We say to God, look, this situation I'm in is yours.
Yeah.
But I know that the battle belongs to you.
Yeah.
And as Matt said, he says it again, doesn't he? He says,
yeah,
do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go face your aints tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you.
Yeah, that's good.
Praise God.
That's good, Nick. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thank you, Nick. So let's take a moment to respond. Why don't we close our eyes? We're going to finish in one moment. I just believe that this morning we can seal something right here, right now. However big the ites feel this morning, I want to encourage you to take hold of that reinforced word that Nick has said. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Our God is greater than the ites, greater than your ites. We're going to see breakthrough. We're going to see breakthrough. Some of us are going to need to speak with a loud voice. For some of us, things aren't going to change without fasting. You know, sometimes short-term discomfort, short-term pain, long-term gain. Can I encourage you, if there's things that you want to see shifted and you've not seen them shifted, then take hold of this prayer and fasting thing. We never want to put pressure on ourselves or anyone else, but we desperately want God's best for us, don't we? Desperately, desperately, desperately. I want to give my life to something that will last forever. And that's going to involve a cost. It's going to involve some sacrifice. It's going to involve some discomfort, but in the grand scheme of things, it's worth it. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to suggest that before we move on to refreshments, that you just check with someone stood next to you whether there are things this morning that you need to pray yourself, to declare that you want to see a breakthrough in. Because as Nick says, sometimes it's easy for us to hear what God's saying, walk out the room, and move on. So I'm going to pray, and then I want you just to find someone nearby and say, is there anything that you want to pray with this morning? That might be your marriage partner, or it might be someone else this morning. And let's just make sure that everyone is included. I'd like you just to check there's someone next to you and ask that question. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to do that, and then we'll be released to have refreshments, tea and coffee. Let's continue to encourage one another. You join with me and just raise our hands for a moment if you can do that. We just recognizing that we want to submit to God this morning, surrender to Him. Oh God, we want to seek You with fasting. We want to speak with You in prayer. We want to honor You with our worship. We want to lift up Your name. We want to pray for breakthrough today, God, in the situations we're thinking of this morning, Father. We raise our hands, we raise some of the ites in our lives and those around us. Lord, come in spirit of faith, boldness. I want to pray for breakthrough, as we've already said, in our communities, in our schools, in our communities where we live. Not just in Kirkby, but in the surrounding areas where, as church, we come from this morning, for Ravenshead, for Selston, for Huthwaite, for Stanton Hill, for Ripley. If I've not mentioned yours as well, it's an all-inclusive prayer this morning. God, we're praying for breakthroughs. And we declare that we will not fear, we will not be discouraged. Our eyes are on You, God. Our eyes are on You, God. And we're privileged because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. Amen.